The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
But first, two very important questions. Have you ever tried to stack marbles while wearing boxing gloves? Also, did you know that marigolds and geraniums hate each other?
Absolutely.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Those of you who are watching on video, you'll recognize this as a bunker video. If you're simply listening as a radio listener, good for you, because the quality is almost as good as when it's at its best. We're going through this really bizarre time. I'm going to do something really strange right now. First of all, let me announce we have John Smira coming up for the whole hour. In hour two, we have Ask Metaxas, where we're going to have a lot of fun. But a lot of people are going through hard times right now. There's a lot of fear out there. And I'm going to do something I've never done on this program. At least I don't think I've ever done it. I'm going to pray because a lot of us really are going through tough times. So hang with me for 2 seconds while I open us up with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Lord, to comfort everyone who's listening, Lord. You know all of our problems. You know all of our concerns. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us, to give us your peace, to draw us closer to yourself, and to assure us that you are with us during this trial. We also pray, Lord, for miracles for those who are listening. Lord, we all need financial miracles, medical miracles, miracles of all kinds. We invite you, Father, to open our eyes to your presence and your reality by doing things that we recognize as not natural and not normal, but as miraculous. We ask for that now, humbly, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That's crazy. Maybe we get kicked off the airwaves for that. I hope so. All right. So I've got a huge announcement before we begin.
Okay.
As a writer, every time a book comes out with my name on it and a box comes to our apartment and I see my book for the first time, I feel as giddy as a schoolgirl. And it's just one of those things where you realize that all this hard work and look, there's the book. And so yesterday, Suzanne said, "Hey, your book came." I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And she handed me this. Can we see it?
Wow.
It's my new in the series, Seven Men, Seven More Men, Seven More Women. Seven More Women comes out next spring. This spring, Seven More Men is out. So you can pre-order it now. But I was so excited. Suzanne and Anna Rose made a special chili dinner last night, and we celebrated this book. I worked actually with my friend Ann Morse on this book. I write all my books by myself. But the Seven Men and Seven Women series, I have worked with my friend Ann Morse. I've worked with her since the 90s, actually, when we both worked for Chuck Colson. But she drafted a couple of these chapters and helped with some of the research and stuff. And I want to acknowledge her just because I really do. I feel like if somebody's helping you, you should acknowledge them. And if you don't acknowledge people, it means you wrote every syllable yourself and did all the research yourself, which I typically do. But she helped me with this. And the heroes in this book That's all I'll say about it. I'm just so excited about this book. I had to mention it. I actually should mention, since I'm talking about my books, that this is the 10th anniversary of the Bonhoeffer book. 10 years. And so Thomas Nelson is coming out with a special 10th anniversary edition. I'm sure we can pre-order that online pretty quickly. But I've written a very long new foreword to it where I go into some stuff I've never talked about before. So it really has some new stuff, very new stuff. Took me a long time to write the foreword, a lot of interesting stuff in there. So I just wanted to mention that. And then, I guess I'll leave it at that.
Well, Eric, I cannot keep up with you. I still haven't finished reading your last book, Donald Builds the Wall.
Oh, pshaw. It's kind of funny because people think like, Eric, that's your new book. And I think to myself, the Donald Caveman books are not really books, right? They're like, you know, they're more like products. They're these fun things. They're kids' books. They don't take a tenth as long to write as any of my other books. The real hero is Tim Raglan, the illustrator. He's the one that does all the hard work, right? But actually, now that you mention it, we have a third in the Caveman series. It's called Donald and the Fake News. That will be out in time for the GOP convention in late August. So kind of kooky.
That's great. Yeah.
By the way, I just wanted to say, I don't know if you guys heard, but Biden almost every day makes a statement that freaks people out as untrue. I think he claimed yesterday that he worked teaching college at some point after he graduated college, and that simply didn't happen. And so I think what we ought to do on this program, and Chris Himes, I know your microphone is broken right now. We're getting it fixed, but I think we should do you know how they always do these fact checks on Donald Trump?
Yeah.
We do a fact check on Biden's claims. And the recent claim, I read it this morning, Biden said, he claimed, this is almost a perfect quote. He says, I once flew off a mountain in Greece using wings that I had fashioned myself from feathers and beeswax. And he claims that he flew too close to the sun and that the wax melted and that he fell into the sea and was picked up by a Chinese junk, you know, one of those old ships. But so anyway, I think we need to fact check that. It sounds a little kooky to me, implausible. I guess he said that he found the feathers by climbing up pine trees in this mountain where he was, and the eagle's nest, and he found these feathers and the beeswax and stuff, and he fashioned these wings and because he was trapped on this island. We need to do a fact check on that. So maybe tomorrow or next week we will have the facts on that. I just thought I should mention that.
Fact check Icarus type flying. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like that Icarus Daedalus myth, doesn't
it?
Now that you mention it, I hadn't thought of that. Interesting.
I don't know.
Okay. We also should mention, now Zemirak is coming up. So there are a lot of people right now that they probably have the sound turned off. They're just not listening. They're waiting for Zemirak. They know we're not going to say anything of substance until the great John Zemirak comes on. And I just want you to know that hurts my feelings, even though it's true. But here's the issue. We raised $2,500 yesterday for Food for the Poor. I want to encourage you. They need your help. We don't want to harp on this because everybody's going through a tough time. But if anybody can give or was planning to give, please go to metaxastalk.com and you'll see all the information there. God bless you. Thank you as you give. Alvin, are you watching anything fun on TV or watching any movies during this time? Because a lot of people are hunkered down. They're reading books. It's an interesting time.
Well, there are actually two movies I'm avoiding. Two movies. Chinatown and the China Syndrome.
Oh, yeah. So, you're supposed to say COVID-19 town and the COVID-19 syndrome. Otherwise, yeah. Technically, you're a racist, Alvin. I don't want to call you a racist, but the fact is that's what you are. And I'm going to call you out on it, okay? Because you're in Christ, iron sharpens iron. You're a straight up racist, okay? I've known you for years, and I know you, okay? And I'm calling you out on the air, okay?
I know. They're changing the titles. They tore down statues. Now they're going to change titles. I'm going to be careful.
And by the way, you know that when I call you a racist, I'm calling you a racist in love. You know.
Oh, yeah. I'm a lovable racist.
It's I just want to say that. And I would never make fun of racism. I've written two books about racism. One is called Wilberforce. The other is called Bonhoeffer. And so I know a little bit about what I'm talking about, which is why I know that you're actually perhaps not a racist. Perhaps I'm just saying that for comic effect. No one will ever know. Okay. We know we should mention, though, No Safe Spaces. Dennis Prager, our buddy, came out with a film on free speech called No Safe Spaces. If you're looking for a film to rent or buy or whatever, I want to recommend that to you. He's part of the Salem faculty. And so he's a dear friend. And it's a documentary about one of the issues we talk about on this program all the time. So I wanted to mention that. I continue to watch Turner Classic Movies. Last night, the film that was on was Some Like It Hot with Jack Lemmon, Tony Curtis, Marilyn Monroe. And who else was in that? George Raft was in that. Yes. And most amazing of all, Joey Brown, one of the greatest comedians of the 1930s. Super genius. He plays the yacht millionaire that Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon pretends to fall in love with. We're out of time. When we come back, John Zmirak. Folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. As promised, not without some technical difficulties, but we have sorted that out for you. We have our friend John Zmirak coming to us visually as well as audibly through the magic of Jitsi.com. John, are you there?
Yes, Eric. How you doing?
Thank you for working with us on this stuff. We just want to talk to you about what you've been writing. So where should we start? What articles have you written that we can pick from?
Well, I've got a new piece up at stream.org asking, is coronavirus the revenge of nature? Which is something Pope Francis said recently. And it was kind of a provocative statement. And in fact, he went on to say a bunch of other stuff that's way over the top. He was saying, oh, it's our failure to steward the environment has Mother Nature angry and she's punishing us. And it sounded like some crazy Gaia environmentalist pantheist wackadoodle stuff, which, you know, a lot of Catholics have seen, because remember at that Amazon synod, he had this pagan idol from the Incas that was venerated at the Vatican, and it caused a huge scandal because, you know, the whole first commandment thing still kind of important to some of us.
Is it part of Catholic teaching to venerate demonic idols? Because I'm not Catholic, and I'm always curious.
Well, you're being kind of pre-Vatican II here, aren't you? I mean, with these distinctions and these separations.
You're being too clever by half, because people don't – most
I'm
people
sorry,
don't know what
I'm
you
sorry.
Just meant.
Okay, okay.
The fact of the matter is that it is bizarre when you talk about the Amazon Synod about a pagan idol being somehow recognized by the Vatican. And you're saying that what the Pope is talking about with regard to coronavirus – relates to that. So please continue.
Yeah, I was saying that he goes way over the top in that direction. But there is a grain of truth in what he has to say. When he said that the coronavirus may be, in a sense, nature's revenge, well, I thought, you know, there's the grain of truth of that is when we abuse nature, it has its own structure. It has its own properties. We are not angels. We don't transcend the material world. If we really mess things up through carelessness or selfishness, we can cause catastrophes, you know? And for instance, swine flu. In 1994, I read a book by Sir James Goldsmith, a wonderful anti-globalist British conservative. He's passed away, but he kind of – you think of him as a founder of the Brexit movement. He wrote a book called The Trap, warning about the dangers of excessive globalization and of shipping out all our factories, our medical factories, our computer factories to these countries like China that are run by dictatorships where they could cut us off. But he also warned about something that I thought was really odd. He said British agriculture is being destroyed because farmers are being told that to save a few dollars, they should feed ground up cows to other cows. Like when a cows that died, you take their bodies, you grind them up into this protein meal. It saves you a few dollars on cattle feed. He warned this is going to cause a disaster. You're turning vegetarian animals into cannibals. And look what happens with human cannibals. And he pointed to the South Seas where this horrible, weird brain disease called Kuru is the result of people, headhunters, eating the brains of other human beings. And it causes this prion disease where these weird little – they're smaller than viruses, but they infect your brain. Well, everybody laughed at him. They said he was just a right-wing crank. 3 years later, mad cow disease almost destroyed British agriculture. And what was it caused by? Turning cows into cannibals and making them eat the brains of other cows. And they got the same disease that South Sea headhunters used to get, which in humans is called Kuru and in cows is called mad cow disease. Hundreds of people died. Thousands of people got sick. Billions of dollars destroyed in the British agriculture industry, all because they wanted to save a few pennies. We saved a few pennies here and there by having all our pharmaceuticals made in China and our computers made in China. And all the globalists, the Bill Clintons and the George Bushes of this world, were telling us China's democratizing. That whole Tiananmen Square thing, that was just a one-off. The more capitalist they become, the more free they'll become. Don't worry about it. Ship your factories over to China. Who was saying no? Ross Perot, Pat Buchanan, a few other people dismissed as cranks, just as James Goldsmith was dismissed as a crank. The coronavirus connection is quite specific. It seems the last three or four global pandemics have originated in China, specifically in these wet markets. It's a very cruel and horrible way that meat is sold in parts of China. They have all the animals tied up together alive, chained up, tied to things of all different species side by side. And people walk around and say, I want that cow. And they kill the cow on the spot. The blood spatters everywhere. You take home the meat. And then they kill the pig. And then they kill the chicken. And then they kill the pangolin or they kill the bat. Point is, you're mixing all the viruses and all the bacteria from all these different animals who are never meant to be bleeding all over each other in these enormous markets with millions of people shopping. It's no surprise that the last three or four pandemics have come out of those wet markets. You know, back in 2017, Smithsonian Magazine was warning that China would produce the next global pandemic too. And dang, if they weren't right, and nobody listened and nobody cared.
You know, when you mention these wet markets, by the way, even the term is disgusting now that I know what they are, but it sounds like something out of medieval times. The Romans would have been too smart to do this, but you could see something horrible happening in the middle, the darkest part of the Middle Ages, where they wouldn't have known better.
Right.
But maybe not even there. It's amazing to me that something which most of us would think of as disgusting on a number of levels is happening in the world's most populous country today in 2020.
Well, I don't want to bash the Chinese people. This is something that has arisen relatively recently. Up until, you know, into the early 20th century, most Chinese people didn't have very much access to meat at all. And then under Mao Zedong and decades of aggressive communism, they had very little food at all, and tens of millions of people starved to death under the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party, which is still in charge today. These people recently, because of some measure of capitalism being allowed, they're finally having the money to buy meat and chicken and things that their grandparents couldn't afford. But they haven't skipped over to like supermarkets with frozen food and hygienic practices. They're still about where we might have been in like 19... 05, you know, when our meat factories and meat packing houses were disgusting and filthy. And it took Upton Sinclair to write the book, The Jungle, to expose it. So I'm not saying anything against the Chinese people, but this cultural practice, which is relatively new, of the wet markets is a biological catastrophe, and it's cruel to the animals. And it's interesting to me that when we behave and twist in ways that are viciously cruel to our fellow creatures who God gave us to steward, nature does have its revenge. In America, we're no angels here. The way we raise pigs is horrendous. It's cruel. We know that pigs have the same emotional intelligence as dogs. Pigs have the same kind of personality and reactions. So imagine treating dogs the way we treat pigs in these horrendous factory farms. We factory farm cows because our agriculture industry, we subsidize the heck out of corn. We pour money into the corn industry. We have all this extra corn. So we feed it to cows. God didn't make cows to eat corn. He made them to eat grass. The cows get sick from eating all this corn, so we dose them with antibiotics, thereby helping to build disease-resistant strains of antibiotics. If our antibiotics stop working, Eric, the COVID virus, the Wuhan flu, will look like a walk in the park. Because back in as late as the 1920s and 30s, if you cut yourself gardening with a pair of shears, you might very well die of sepsis over a course of 3 or 4 horrible, horrible days of your body turning against you and dying of infection. If you look through old obituaries, countless people died of sepsis. That meant they cut their hand gardening. They cut a piece out of their arm while farming. Or if they got nicked with a bullet in a war, they would die from that because they didn't have antibiotics. We are making antibiotics ineffective by wasting them on cows and pigs so that we can get away with raising them in cruel and inhuman conditions to save a few pennies.
This is a lot of very important information, John. We're very grateful to you. When we come back, we will continue the conversation with John Zmirak. Do not go away.
Make like a Mr. Milk Toast, you'll get shut out.
Hey, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're back with John Zmirak. John, we're talking about a lot of things. You mentioned globalization a moment ago. I want to ask you, because this is something that I've thought about a lot, as a conservative who believes in the free market, I believe there are limits to the free market. What I mean by that is if I can get cheap labor by working with a country like China, where the labor is so cheap that it's almost like slave labor, don't I have a moral reason not to do business with them? There are people that I know who have made a god of the free market and of free trade, and they don't seem to me to be sensitive to these kinds of human rights issues. And it seems to me that the horror of what's happening now has something to do with overvaluing trade, especially with places like China.
I would talk to those people about William Wilberforce and ask them, in his day, would you have been for free trade, for the free trade in slaves? Would you have been one of those people saying that Wilberforce was an enemy of the British Empire, an enemy of economic prosperity, an enemy of progress, because he wanted to sacrifice this asset, access to this wonderful asset that is slave labor? And produces all this sugar that makes the British monarchy rich. We have to remember, a lot of the labor in China literally is slave labor. They are Muslims who've been enslaved because of their religious beliefs. The Uyghurs, 2 million of them have been arrested. 1 million or more of them are in concentration camps. And we know they're being shipped to work in factories for Nike and companies like Apple. I don't know if Apple actually has Uyghur slave laborers. But imagine we're having to have this discussion. 200 years after William Wilberforce died, we're having to talk about, are our computers being made by people enslaved for their religious beliefs? We really don't know because there's no transparency. But hey, look at the new iPhone 666. Isn't it great? All right, let me get the blood off of it.
Okay, well, John, this really brings up something, as I say, that I've thought about a lot, but I hardly hear people talk about it. I mean, it seems to me that the whole idea of the free market and free trade is ostensibly and basically a good thing. But as we've been saying, there have to be limits. And I think, for example, when we very foolishly in the 90s under Clinton gave China most favored nation status, we really acted as though we were inevitably bringing democracy to right. that country when we may as well have been doing precisely the opposite. And what I wonder is, in the conservative community, how come we don't have that conversation? It's as if some conservatives really are what liberal enemies of conservatism say they are. They're green.
Let me bring it home, okay? At the time, we were granting most favored nation status to China and lying and saying that we're making progress towards liberalization and opening up. That's when the one-child policy was being imposed on that vast country of at the time a billion people. And 400 million unborn babies, is the best estimate, were aborted against their mother's will, some of them in the ninth month of pregnancy. My friend William Stephen Mosher is the man who exposed this. He was a grad student at Stanford studying in China. He happened upon this and saw, oh, my God, is this real? And he started traveling around and he saw it over and over again. He saw army doctors shoving 9-month pregnant women into operating rooms and cutting the child out of their stomachs while they screamed that they wanted their baby. 400 million times this happened, and the West knew about it. In fact, the International Planned Parenthood Federation, its Chinese branch, were the enforcement arm. They were the ones finding the pregnant women and bringing them into the government to have the forced abortion. Let's go, Planned Parenthood. The Democrats still want to give them taxpayer money. While the Republicans were cooperating with the Democrats to make the Chinese government even richer, the Chinese government was committing a staggering 400 million people, girls, because in China, if you could only have one child, people wanted a boy because that would be their retirement plan. That's the culture there. Maybe 10 million baby girls who got born were abandoned and left to die. As a result, there's a huge imbalance between boys and girls in the current generation. There are going to be about 10 or 15 million young Chinese men who don't have anybody to marry. They caused themselves an enormous social nightmare by listening to the West's population control lies. But while they were committing a genocide that dwarfs the Holocaust, that dwarfs the Gulag, it even dwarfs the deaths of the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward, we were making deals with them, flying over there first class, schmoozing with rich Chinese communist political officials, making deals that helped our 401ks go up. And a few people like Pat Buchanan, people like Stephen Mosher, pro-life groups, were Chinese rights groups, people from Taiwan, were speaking up against it, and they were being dismissed as cranks, as xenophobes, as racists, all the rhetoric we're hearing today
right.
from people who get their phones and their sneakers made by slave laborers out of concentration.
We're going to have to go to a break. We'll be back for a final segment with our friend John Zmirak. Honestly, this stuff is so horrifying. We need to talk about this. And one of the reasons that I do this show is because other people don't seem to talk about this. To be quite honest, I don't see this talked about in the conservative media. We'll be right back with John Zmirak.
Thank you.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to our friend John Zmirak. John, we're talking about a lot of important things. You've written articles at the Stream. Stream.org is where people should go. Stream.org. John, you and I are talking about stuff that I sometimes think maybe you and I are the only ones thinking about this. That can't be true. You just mentioned Pappy Cannon and some others. But the fact of the matter is that there is a tremendous downside to globalization. And it strikes me that greed is at the heart of it. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the free market. In fact, we know the free market is the path to bringing people who are in poverty out of poverty, to increase wealth. It's a wonderful thing, but it has limits. I would say that God is the one who determines the limits of all our freedoms. So free trade, free speech, even freedom of religion. If somebody says, I'm going to, you know, kill babies on the street in the name of my religion, the government would say, sorry, you can't do that. Freedom of religion doesn't extend that far. We have to make those calls. We haven't made those calls with regard to globalization and free trade because of what I think of as pure greed and a lack of caring on moral issues when it comes to people who look different than we do and live on the other side of the world and exist in the billions.
Immigration, add immigration to that list, because uncontrolled borders are the single thing that makes the human trafficking plague possible. So you've got liberals who say it's racist to want to control the borders, to have a wall. They're enabling the sex trafficking of young children and teenage girls from Mexico, from Guatemala, from Honduras to be enslaved in the pornography industry in America. But, you know, they're all for porn, too. So they claim to be for freedom, but it's not freedom for everyone. It's not freedom for the teenage girls being exploited. I think it just last week it turned out that someone had raped a young woman. Just out forcible rape of like a 14-year-old girl, and he uploaded it to Pornhub, and the rape victim has been trying to get Pornhub to take down the video of her rape made by her rapist with no success. This is the kind of chaos that the moral depravity and destruction and chaos that's going on beneath the veneer of a nice, orderly, civilized, high-tech country. And part of what makes it possible is our lying, biased propaganda media networks and organs. And I have another piece at stream.org that I'd like people to look at called Powerful New Media Exposé Hoaxed asks, are you paranoid enough? Hoaxed is a new film available on Amazon Prime made by Mike Chernovich, who is a kind of a right-wing provocateur and journalist on the internet. He was, you know, he's butted heads with CNN and MSNBC and lots of people. And in the film Hoaxed, Chernovich goes to people who have been, as they say, canceled by the media and by social media.
Right.
He talks to Alex Jones, kind of a wild man, but he's somebody who the media have really, really circled wagons to shut that man up. Lauren Southern, Stephen Molyneux, James O'Keefe, the man who helped expose Acorn, who helped expose Planned Parenthood, who helped expose countless instances of media bias and corruption. He's the guy who talked to that Bernie Sanders person, field operative working for Bernie Sanders, who wanted to set up gulag camps. Scott Adams of Dilbert appears in the film. It's Hoaxed, H-O-A-X-E-D. And in it, he shows you these various media figures tell their stories. And Chernovich shows you in fine grained detail exactly how media bias operates. I'll just give you one instance that's particularly interesting. I know Greece right now is threatened with an immigrant invasion that Turkey has purposely unleashed on its borders. You remember when they were flooding so-called Syrian refugees from the war into Germany and all over Europe? And they all turned out to be young men of military age, not families. Do you remember how they made that possible politically? There was a photo of a young Kurdish boy, 7 or 8 years old, who drowned. And there was a close-up photo of this dead child. You don't normally show close-up photos of dead children in the media. This was released everywhere, shown everywhere. And it helped open the borders to more than a million Syrian migrants, who they called refugees, And then you had the rape epidemic in Germany. Remember New Year's Eve? I think it was.
So this is where you bring up this kind of a calculus. Like, everybody knows that one drowned child is horrifying. But how does that compare to thousands of young girls being raped? I mean, this is the kind of calculus we're forced to think about, because in our emotional reaction to that photo, we have unleashed, hell across the European continent. But nobody wants to talk about that.
But how did the? But it was all a media stunt. That boy, in fact, was being trafficked by human traffickers, Turkish people smugglers, who have subsequently gone to prison for murder. He was a victim of human trafficking, not of Western governments. And here's where the media comes in. You saw that photo everywhere, even though journalistic guidelines say you don't do close-up photos of dead children because it's unseemly. But Mike Chernovich asks in this film, Hoaxed, where are the photos of the people murdered in Paris with machetes at the Bataclan nightclub? We never saw those photos. They existed. Photos of the victims slaughtered and butchered by Islamist so-called refugees. They never appeared in the media. They were censored. They went down the memory hole. Nobody even put them on the internet. Why? Why do one set of – why does one victim get worldwide publicity and another set of victims who are in their own country trying to listen to a rock concert – they get down the memory hole. No photos. No, you're not going to see that. What is the agenda behind that? The agenda was opening the borders in Europe. And anything that pushed that agenda got shoved into the media. Anything that slowed that agenda down got censored and stuffed down the memory hole. This happens over and over and over again, continuously, with our own networks. For instance, did you know that Christine Blasey Ford, when she made up all that stuff about Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge, did you know she worked for the abortion industry?
The only reason I know it is because of you. And we talked about it on this program.
That's right. Not even Fox News talked about that. Doesn't that seem like a relevant fact? Especially when we find out a year later, her lawyer admits that her main motivation for testifying was to keep abortion legal.
Hang on, John. We're going to go to a break. We've got a final segment, one more segment, a bonus segment with the great John Zmierich. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't go away. Folks, it's Eric Metaxas Show. Final segment now with John Zmierich. And in hour two, don't miss hour two, we're going to do an Ask Metaxas where you ask me anything you like and I have to answer the question. Well, I don't have to, but I will try. And then at the end of hour two, we're going to have a very, very special segment. It's called English as a First Language. You do not want to miss that. Okay, John Zmierich, let's continue the conversation. What's happening?
Well, Eric, last week at stream.org, I wrote a piece. Do Americans wish that sleepy Joe Biden were president right now? I mean, imagine that Joe Biden were in the White House right now. Would you feel safer? Would you feel like, yeah, good, the crisis is in good hands. The country's in good hands because the president just told us he's going to get us all condoms to protect us from the Cordoba Vegas.
That was funny. That was funny.
If you can't laugh at an epidemic, you know, what's the point? But really, so I think the Democrats have got themselves a real pig in a poke now. They have this president who doesn't know what state he's in. He doesn't know what day of the week it is. He doesn't know what office he's running for. In the middle of a crisis, they're saying this guy should be the president.
Pig in a poke. That's about it, because this is a weird situation. I've been talking about this for it's over a year now. I keep thinking that they are going to realize at the last minute, so they're gonna half concoct something. They're gonna have to do something to exaggerate some incident and to make it look like he's taken himself out. And I still think Hillary Clinton is gonna be wheeled in to save America from a second Trump term. And if she is not wheeled in, someone will be wheeled in who will have her as a vice president. It's going to be a co-presidency. It's going to be something like that. But I honestly don't think every day Joe Biden is saying something to make it easier for Trump to be reelected. And frankly, I think that Trump during this crisis is performing so well and the Democrats have performed so terribly that I think it's going to be a landslide.
Well, I've already put out the hashtag Joe Biden didn't die of coronavirus, referring to the Epstein thing. I don't think actually he will get the coronavirus, but I think he will. There will be an incident where he's hospitalized and the Democratic National Committee will step in and they will hand the nomination to somebody. I think it's going to be, they're setting us up for it to be Andrew Cuomo. They're trying to make him America's governor, the way Giuliani was America's mayor after 9/11. And the whole media machine, you can see it slipping into gear. You know, the memo has gone around. No, it's going to be Cuomo. So start getting people ready. And basically the networks are turning into like a campaign reel for Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo was saying things like, we can't sacrifice our elderly. Every life is precious. This from the man who's been trying to close pro-life pregnancy centers like the one your wife operates in New York City. This from the man who said pro-lifers and Orthodox Christians, biblical Christians, don't have a place in New York State. They should move out. He actually said that. This is a wannabe ethnic cleanser. He opposes the Second Amendment completely, would like to see it pulled out of the Constitution. He's for abortion up through birth, that is infanticide. He doesn't think Christians have a place in his state. I assume we won't have a place in America if he becomes president. This is the man the media is grooming to take Biden's place, I think, and we have to be ready to come out swinging. We should be hitting him now. We should be trying to dirty him up now with plenty of negative things he's done, crazy things he's said.
Well, we don't have to make anything up.
No.
About smearing him with his own record.
Radical left-wing governor of a state who is overseeing the destruction of innocent human life.
There's no question about that. John, forgive me. We're out of time. Thank you so much. It's just terrific to have you on. We'll have you on again next week.
We'll
be doing Ask Metaxas. Don't miss it. And then we've got English as a first language. I particularly think you'll like this episode. Stick around.